Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor at the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, Soften My Heart and Make Me More Like Jesus, already in progress.
You got to realize who he is. That's just like the time Mike was over there trying to work on that, get that pin out of that little gear on that Volkswagen or whatever it was. Some of y'all heard him tell that testimony, and that's the neatest testimony. I'm one of the neatest ones I ever heard. Especially since I was raised up in the mechanic world just like he was. Me and him both know how easy it is to pull a pin out of a hole on a gear, on a set of gears. It's simple, and he can't pull it out. He can't pull that pin out. I mean, he nearly breaks a pair of pliers trying to pull the pin out. He tears the top of the pin off, and his lovely wife comes out there an hour or two later and says, honey, what's wrong? Are we going to be here all night? I think by this time, 10 or 11 o'clock, wasn't it, Gracie? We're going to be here all night? She says, honey, I can't get this pin out of this gear. She said, well, have you prayed about it yet? Thank God for a smart wife, right? Of course, Mike being the big old boy, honey, I don't have to pray. I can do this. Now, see, that's the way we do things. That used to do things, right? He's trying to, but honey, I can pull that pin out. I can do this. But he can't. Finally, she said, well, if you won't be here all night, then just don't pray. But if you want to get it done, go ahead and pray. Said, okay, God, I need some help to pull the pin out. He knows he don't need no help. He knows he's a great big old strong boy. He knows I'm trying to say, here's a 200-pound chunk of steel over here. I mean, this boy has worked on cars. He picks up engines and all. I mean, he's tough. And he knows he don't need no help pulling a pin out. That weighs about an ounce. And so whenever his wife wants him to do it, he kind of gets angry a little bit and says, okay, God, I need some help to get this pin out. Thank you, Lord, for the help. Now, he was really upset. So he reaches up there and just takes the hold of that little pin, and what happened? It just pulled right out. That changed Mike's life forever right there. He will never be the same boy. Because just like you said, once you've seen it, you can never be the same. I mean, to think God was trying to get Mike's attention that day, son, I love you, but I want to have a little intimacy with you before you pull the pin out of this. I want you to talk to me. And he didn't have time to talk. He'd been working all day. He's already put in 12 or 14 or 16 hours, and he ain't got time to talk to God. He's got to get this engine done so he can get it out of here. But God's saying, you ain't going to get that pin out until you talk to me. Isn't that amazing? And the minute he talked to him, that pin came out. Some of you heard him tell that testimony yourself, didn't you? Wasn't that a good testimony? It was a great testimony. But will God do the same thing for each one of us? Yes, he will. I mean, he's amazing. He's absolutely an amazing God. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So how far away from us as his children, once he delivers us from the kingdom of darkness and translates us into the kingdom of light, how far away is he? He's never far away. He's in you. I mean, that's as intimate as you can get. He's in you, and he wants you to tell him how much you love him and praise him and worship him. Does he not? He loves praise. All right, let's go to chapter 2, verse 12. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 12. We'll read a few verses in 2:12. Let's see what he says there. He says in chapter 2, verse 12, we're buried with him in baptism. Now, like I say, if you're a son or a daughter of God and you've never been baptized, immersed in water, you need to be, because that's the only way that counts. Being sprinkled or whatever don't count. And according to God's word, you need to be buried with him in baptism. I mean, submersed in water. You need to be, that's a symbol of your death, and you need to die. Everybody needs to die as a Christian whenever we accept Jesus. We need to be buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Verse 13, and to you being dead in your sins. Now, this is the most difficult thing that we do as sons and daughters of God, be realizing that we are dead. I am dead. You're dead to sin. That's exactly right. You're dead to sin. We see ourselves as alive to the world. We don't see ourselves as dead to sin or dead to the things of the world. It's so difficult. As some of you know, I mean, when I would teach on scriptures that says, like Romans, we're dead to sin. We're dead. If I'm dead, how can a dead man sin? And so when I was raised in a Baptist church, I heard this all the time. You know, Thurman, it's impossible for you not to sin. When you go through the day, you're going to sin. Have any of y'all ever heard that? I mean, that is some kind of a preconceived idea that we've got, that it's impossible for us not to sin. Well, let me tell you, the scripture says, if you're dead to sin, Paul said, if you really are dead to sin, how in can a dead man sin? He said, you can't. So, and here in Colossians, it clearly says, we are dead to sin. Is that what it says? So if we're dead to sin, let's look at this again. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How many things am I forgiven when I come to Christ? He cleans my slate. Now that I'm supposed to walk in obedience to his word, I'm not supposed to sin no more, right? I'm supposed to stay dead. Do we do that very well? You know, last week at the healing school, I had a husband and wife sitting right here on the second row. And they were older, very much older. So I figured they probably had been married forever. I didn't realize they'd just been married 4 years. So anyway, when I says, how about you, young lady? I says, are you staying dead to your sins toward your husband? She said, well, I did until last night. Did you hear him, Kim?
Yes.
Okay. She said, I've tried to not sin, but she said, me and him got into a little scrap last night. I said, oh my goodness. Now you see what happened to her. She got out of her love walk, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. So that really wasn't the answer I was looking for, but that's the way it happened. You know, when you see a couple, you really can't tell. Just like me and Cheryl, you know. I mean, we could have been married 50 years by now, you know, if we'd have started out together, but we didn't. So we only got 12 years, you know, but 12. And just like Cheryl said, the first year was the hardest. And it's getting easier all the time. So praise the Lord. I love it when it gets easier. And I'll tell you why it's getting easier. Me and her are both learning how to die. Instead of giving each other a piece of your mind, you just like Cheryl says about me all the time. She says, anytime Thurman don't do exactly what I want, I just walk off and start praying. Lord, soften his heart, make him more like Jesus. And if I need to change, soften my heart, make me more like Jesus. And if you do that, then guess what happens? I mean, it gets easy to get along with each other, right? Yeah, it's not difficult. If you die to self, I mean, if you let the beast stay alive, it's kind of hard to do it. But if you stay dead, I have forgiven you all your trespasses. Let's look at verse 14 and 15, verse 14 first. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. What in the world is he talking about there? Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. What handwriting of ordinances is he talking about? He's talking about your sin. He's talking about the law tells us what we can and can't do, right? If the law says you're not supposed to lie and you've been lying, okay, let's make a list over here. Okay, Thurman, it says right here under the law, God says, clearly, I hate lying. Thurman's been telling little white lies or big black lies or whatever, but some kind of lies. So the devil's over there saying, Thurman is a liar. Thurman is an adulterer. Thurman is a man that gets anger and rage and bitterness. Every time you do something that's against the law, Satan makes a list, and he has legal right to torment you with that list. And do you want to have a list like this? Now, what if your list is like, you know, I have people do this to me all the time. They come down here and say, Pastor, I need to be healed. And I say, what's wrong with you? They say, here. And they hand me a list. I've seen some of them that long. Mike, had you seen some of those? A list this long. Now, see what they've never figured out. Jesus forgave them for all them sins, and he took that list, and he nailed that list to his cross. And said, it's finished. So when people bring me a list, I just say, let me have that list. I'm throwing that sucker away. I said, have you repented for all these things? Well, yes, I've repented. Then the list, we don't need that list. If Jesus has already nailed that list to his cross, why do I need that list? I don't need that list, do I? Does the scripture say that he nailed that list to his cross? In other words, the list of blotting out the handwriting of words that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Verse 15. Let's see what verse 15 says. and having spoiled a principality. Now, spoil means disarmed. Having disarmed the principalities and powers. Who in the world is the principalities and powers? That's Satan and his host of demons. Now see, this is what God made Satan and his host of demons for. He made him and put him out there and he said, now Satan, when these people sin, I've made a law. Just like when you drive out there on that highway. You go out there on that highway and you drive under the speed limit. It's the speed limit 70 on the freeway. If you're driving under 70, do you have to be concerned about a police officer stopping you and giving you a ticket for speeding? No, not at all, because you're within the confines of the law. Now, if you're like some of those people say, well, you know, I know that in Texas they usually give you a 5-mile-an-hour grace period, so I'm sure I can drive 75, and I don't have to worry about it, but if I do get stopped, well, then I'll just tell the police officer, I was only driving 75. Well, yeah, I know you're driving 75, but you know you were speeding, and I'm going to give you a warning ticket. But that the devil never gives you a warning ticket. If you drive 70 and a quarter, he's going to get you. He's going to know. So he's going to make this list that's against you, and he will get you. I mean, that's just like this. I had this truck driver over in Dallas. He started coming to my church, and he come down one Sunday, and he said, Thurman, I never heard the Word of God preached like you preach it, but he says, I know it's all true because what my Bible says and what you say is the same thing. But he said, it don't work for me. I said, what do you mean it don't work? He said, I have prayed, I have asked God for things since I've been coming to this church. And he said, I used to never get a prayer answered. And said, since I come here, I've repented of all kinds of stuff and think I get every sin repented. But I prayed and asked God to do certain things for me, and he's never answered a prayer for me, not one time. I said, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a truck driver. I said, oh, do you speed? Thurman, you can't make a living driving a truck and drive the speed limit. I said, oh, yes, you can. I said, if the Lord told you to obey the laws of the land. He said, I read that scripture, but he said, you know, surely God wouldn't hold it against me if I drive 75 or 80. I got to make a living. I said, no. He said, obey the laws of the land, son. I said, if you want God to answer your prayer, I want you to repent right now and say, God, I promise you, I will never drive above the speed limit again. I'll drive the speed limit. And he did. Two Sundays later, come back to church, he said, my goodness, this works beyond the wild. He said, every prayer I prayed for since I repented for driving too fast, God has answered my prayer. Now, isn't that amazing?
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Soften My Heart and Make Me More Like Jesus, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website, www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.